under leader in that box? That leaves three. Why? I tell you, he's quick. Okay, just to get that adjustment. Now, these steps evolved from an experience that I had actually in dealing with a pastor back in Vienna, Austria. He was involved with more people and more things going on. This small church grew up, and suddenly he had many, many... Yes? Oh, question. Confidence. Thank you. Confidence. The leader's confidence in the person. And here was this pastor who had some 115, 120 people around him, and it was still growing. And he was absolutely frustrated because he didn't know what to do with them. And he was doing everything. He was counseling, he was teaching, he was pastoring, he was had some new believers, he was leading a Bible study, he was out in evangelism, everything. He had a list of almost 12 major areas that he was involved with. And so as we talked it through, he obviously had to get rid of some. Help, he needed help. Well, you can't just delegate it, and that's what often happens. Somebody gets absolutely frustrated and says, here, it's yours. And so they plop it out on somebody else's plate, and they have to go with it. So we sat down and talked about these 12 areas, what he wanted to do and what others could do. And with some training, we could work them up into a place where they could effectively take over. And so over the years, as this experience turned out to be a successful one, as we worked it through, I've added to this and been helpful with the leadership, and the one-minute manager picked up some of these terms. I had these terms as just, didn't have terms, I just had numbers. But let me just go through it with you, and then we'll talk, give some illustration, and we can talk about it. In the directive level, this first level here, we see this is simple. This is where someone relates to you, and you hold the task, responsibility, and authority, as you can see down here, that's the right to decide and take action. You give that person something to do, give instructions, you monitor the performance, and then when that person is finished, they come back, you give them more instructions, and they go out and do that. Now this, as you can see, the directive level, you wouldn't want to stay there very long with this person. It's dull, it's very directive, he never goes any further. We obviously want to bring people along as fast as we can. But the frustration I find in many navigator circles is the same in other places, and that I've experienced as well. You suddenly are overwhelmed with responsibilities, and you tend to jump from directive right up to delegation. The person winds up frustrated because he's not really sure what to do, but he takes a hold of it and moves, and doesn't realize that you had certain expectations and that he didn't know all he needed to do that job until suddenly he's done something wrong or he's missed something. And then we yank the rope back, and he's discouraged. So we need to move the person up the various relationship levels, leadership relationship levels. So we move him up to coaching. As the person then, as I said here, progresses, he demonstrates that he knows what's going on and that there is certain confidence that you have and that he does know that. So you move him to the coaching level. There, he takes more responsibilities. You can see there, there's more... You give general instructions rather than specifics. You monitor performance as well, and then he comes back. And this time, as he follows the general instructions, when he comes back, he participates in the next series. And so he then goes through that process. As he demonstrates that he's developing in his capacity, developing in his understanding, he's getting your thinking as you're interacting, he moves up to the next level, the supportive relationship of leadership. And so now you can see it's a shift over. At this point, it's a critical point. Because from here on, he now takes over more responsibility. You can see he shares the task, responsibility, and authority. You give guidelines now rather than general instructions. You're available as a consultant. Consultant is different than a counselor. Consultant can take initiative, can move into the situation, whereas a counselor waits to be approached. You set the date of a progress review now rather than a date of completion, and you monitor basically the progress. But the ball is moving very strongly into his court. He makes plans consistent with these guidelines. He initiates. He decides action. So he is now operating more independently. To where you have now confidence, you've seen him develop to a point, you then can delegate and give him the responsibility of a particular area. Now you just have expectations, goals, or if dates are appropriate, you're available for counseling, and he begins to move. Now I've seen as you move through the process, this is apprenticing. This is moving someone, developing someone into position. Now in your mind you may be saying, well golly, this is just true back when I was training people on the campus in evangelism. You're absolutely right. That would be applicable there. I can apply it even to my son. When we first got to Colorado Springs, everybody had a fireplace, and we did too. It was exciting, and our kids got excited about having a real fireplace. We've never had one before. I mean, one that works. So we bought some wood. I didn't really know a whole lot about buying wood. I probably got ripped off or whatever, but I got all this wood and threw it in the fireplace, and sure enough, it hardly burned. I don't know where they got it, what trees they were, but mine didn't burn very well. But I noticed that I had to split it several times to make it small. So I said to my son, who was at this time 15, I said to him, Scott, would you go out and chop the wood? I gave him an axe. I told him a little bit about it. I just was frustrated, didn't have the time. So rather than walking it through, I just said, delegation, Scott, go chop the wood, make it in small pieces. Well, about 10, 15 minutes after I had told him that, I decided to walk around the back of the house and take a look. I stopped and stared with great awe. What I had seen was a young guy swinging wildly as he set that thing, and before it tilted over, he whoom, catch it. Well, this beautiful grass that we had deep divots in all over the place, and the piece that he was working on, he had driven almost out of sight into the grass. Well, I said, whoa, what are you doing? He said, I'm splitting the wood. Well, I looked over here, and I saw little teeny pieces, big pieces. It was split all right, but there wasn't any consistency. So I said, whoa. I said, how did you ever, don't you know how to split wood? He said, well, I've never done it before, but I figured just swing at it. And I said, oh, son, well, so we went over and got a big log, a round one there, and set that up. I said, now you put this log here, and you set it up here. Now you take this thing, and you just tamp it into the middle and get it in there. And then you can bang, bang, and it'll... Well, we worked it through. He did it, and we went back and forth. And so I moved him to the coaching level. He got to that place. I said, now you do the next 10, and we'll see. So he did it there, and I was watching, and then we talked about it a little bit more. And after that, it got a little bit boring to him. You know, this is dead. He says, now, I bet I could probably, and I said, oh, no, you stay right at coaching. So we kind of worked it through. Well, it didn't take but a couple days, and he was up to delegation. Now he could do a beautiful job of splitting them, stacking them. He had to learn how that. He just kind of threw them, and he got into the place. Well, I realize these steps can apply to anyone. They can apply to staff. They can apply to those who are leaders of staff. Now, I've seen them apply to areas of planning, staff counseling, finances, supervising other leaders, missionary sponsoring, all these different things that you and I have responsibility for. Now, let me just give you one other illustration, and I'll stop, and then we can talk. You can ask some questions, and we'll go on, and I'd like to work through something together. It doesn't mean, as this person goes up and as we work through with a person in this area, that the person you're working with goes up in that area in all areas, or goes up in these relationships in all areas. It could very well be that in one area he'd be in delegation, another area still working on coaching or supportive. So it doesn't, if you're working maybe at 7-8 different areas, some could be up and some could be down, or some, they're just all moving towards this. Now, what I've found in a practice, it's helpful to actually discuss this with people. Let them see this. Let them talk about the type of relationship that you would have with them in a certain area. Now, I've done this with my own administrator right now. When he came to work with me, we identified 7 areas that he would be responsible for. And then I showed him these different relationships. We talked them through, and I asked him, why don't you put down what you think, what relationship you'd like in these areas with me, and I'll put down the relationships I think you should be at, and we will sit down and discuss it. And we did. We got into several areas where there was disagreement. His, in fact, he wanted to be more in the directive coaching realm than he wanted to be further on. I had made some assumptions, but in the conversation it was clear. For instance, the area of finances. He had never dealt in the area of finances. So he wanted to be in directive. And I said, you know, I don't think I can handle it that way in light of my traveling, in light of different things that we're doing. How about if we work on it for about a month like that, but immediately get into coaching? So I said, all right. So we did that, and we worked on a number of things where he did some tasks. It was obvious that he was picking up on it very quickly, and so we moved to the coaching level. But he didn't want to move beyond coaching. And I thought that he was grasping a hold of some of these things, but he didn't want to go up into supportive in the area of finances. Because for him, it was an area of, it was providing some security. And it's good to not move someone too fast. Some people say, let me up that stairway quick so I can get to the top as fast as can be. And I say, well, surely I would like to see you go up as fast as possible, but we'll go up there according to the demonstration of your understanding these things. And as we have that and it's clear and we both are confident of that, we'll move ahead. And so these things I found can be protective as well. So someone isn't thrown in and thrust into responsibility that they're not prepared for. And so we've moved along in those areas. Let me just stop for a moment, and I can give an illustration at a leader of staff level that might be helpful to you. But let me just stop and let's entertain any questions that might be on your mind as I've just explained this. Yes, Rod. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it can. I think the key is contact. And if you have a relationship where you understand and you're working on things, it can supplement. It can supplement. I would not say it could substitute, but it can supplement. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. He said sometimes proximity is hard, but can the telephone substitute for some proximity or bring it in? And I had just mentioned it can supplement it. It certainly can in our busyness. And there is a certain amount of proximity. It doesn't mean you have to be working with this person every day, but you have to be there enough to watch the continuity and the development. Any others? Yes?
However, there's some staff who feel any coaching is a demonstration of lack of confidence. Delegate and leave your own delegation.
Yeah. Okay, he said he's run into some staff that any aspect of coaching is basically demeaning to them. And they said, just give me the job and back off. Well, I would say, in my experience, I just would not do that. I would explain this to them and say that he will get to delegation and have the job as soon as he has demonstrated he's ready for it. And that's basically what I would, how I would handle that situation. Now, it isn't holding him back. We can move him ahead as fast as we can. But it's important that we prepare people for delegation. That's what I'm basically hitting on. Apprenticing means we work the person into responsibility. It can be small areas, it can be large areas. Yes, John?
In any case there, wouldn't this be an opportunity to give a person opportunity to fail, and then you would give him any supervision and give him a selected project, let him go at it, and try to stake in the ground, cover some
more? Well, that's true. I think there's a certain amount of failure that you could have latitude, but I would like in the apprenticing aspect, not in other areas, but in the apprenticing aspect, I think one needs to have room to fail, but not in terms of destroying or hurting himself or hurting some other aspect. I think once he's into delegation and he's moving with it, then I want to give him room to deal, you know, more with perhaps if he's made wrong decisions, to live with it. But there'll be an aspect in the earlier areas, but I want to prevent that kind of thing. But I don't want to prevent him from learning experiences, but not failure because he didn't know. He hadn't been properly developed. Yes?
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, that little box we haven't touched on, but the leader, as a person moves up and takes on more responsibility, obviously his capacity increases because he has more time and he can put his abilities into other aspects. So in effect, his capacity to handle other things increases because he's giving away other responsibilities and they're doing more for him or with him. Yes, Don or Dan? Okay, he's asked, how does character fit into this? And it doesn't necessarily fit in as what I'm describing. I'm talking about the development of capacity in the apprenticing. But it certainly would fit in as you and I would deal with somebody. And perhaps the very problem, they're capable enough to go up to supportive, let's say. But the character, he's just too eager to get responsibility for an ego. Well, then I would hold him there just on the basis of that. Or I might decide to let him go with it and deal with it another way. But I definitely would bring that into consideration. Yes? I'm sorry. That's another addition I needed. Right. Added that confidence. In other words, the co-laborer, as he goes up, develops in responsibility, increases in that, increases in authority, the amount of authority he'll have, the ability to take initiative, and he participates more in the process and more what's going on, and his own confidence. His own confidence. Thank you very much, Gene. Yes? Well, it depends on what his question was. How do we prevent the idea of just passing on my idiosyncrasies, my prejudices, or my ideas, whatever, and let the person develop? And what you can do is give him room, and especially once he begins to leave the coaching stage, that's where we want to give them more and more room to do that. And I would say he begins to develop his own style or aspect. It comes out more in the supportive and the delegation stage. And that's where then we give him more freedom to do that. But in the directive and the coaching level, not so much. Now, the leaders in this room, I would imagine, that would very rarely get involved with directive because that's not where the people are that you're dealing with. But if I could just give an illustration that might be helpful. One of our leaders of staff, as we delegated all of the I delegated certain things. Now, this may seem contradictory, but as I assumed my responsibilities, I wanted to delegate a number of things to our field directors and on down. And I was prepared to deal with those things and come alongside and develop them where they weren't. I had to make certain assumptions and felt a lot of them were ready for certain areas. But one particular person was not ready for an area, and that is handling missionaries. He had never done that before. And so it's important to then work with that. So we basically went at the coaching level. Now, I didn't have the proximity, but it wasn't the kind of thing he's going to be dealing with every day. So we started working in that area. First of all, we discussed the authority that he would have over the sponsoring the missionaries he sponsored. We talked about procedures. We went through budgets. What is his part in that? We talked about furloughs. We talked about certain responsibilities he has when those furloughing missionaries are home. We went through these different areas. Then some specific cases came. And as soon as that case came in, we began to talk about that, how he would handle it, what needed to be done, and then he did it. So he began to go through this and very quickly picked up this idea, what needs to be done. And so we agreed that he would move up and be more in the supportive level. We didn't talk a whole lot about moving up different levels, but basically let the rein out to operate more and more. But this was his desire as well as mine. As a matter of fact, more of his, because he wanted to move up in this area before he took over the responsibility. Then a situation came up, and we talked it through again, And in the talking through, we learn more about, oh, do I have the authority to do that? Can I hold this person? Or his whole furlough doesn't even include certain things. And I think it should. Do I have the authority? Yes, you have authority to do that. And so in his own way, he did that and dealt with it. And so it was very, it didn't take long before picking up more and more of the idea and the responsibilities that he had. Another problem came along, dealing with the missionary coming back that didn't have enough money and was ready to go back and was going to deal with, just go back and believe God. And so now that he was at this level and had quite a bit of experience, he decided, I don't think that's right. Took it upon himself to call over to that leader over in the other country and began to talk it through with them and held the missionary back and helped that missionary get that money. And before you know it, it was moving on and began to understand more and more. And so now at this point, that person is already, it's fully delegated to him. It was a helpful process. It protected him from making a mistake and then we have to go back. But it was an area, there are plenty of other areas he was at a delegation. But at this particular area, it was new. And so that person needed to be developed into it. And when that he felt he was ready for it, he said, it's mine, and they're off and going. And so now he feels confident that he understands how to handle the missionaries that his region sponsors. So this is where you can use those kinds of things, and I could give many illustrations of that, at many levels. It can be a very helpful, just conceptually as well as specifically moving up. Now, I'd like you to go to work, and I'm going to give you a responsibility. And I'm going to... Here's the situation. You have a staff person who is assuming responsibility for a staff woman. He's never dealt with this before, never led women. He is married. He's never dealt with this before, has no experience in leading a woman's staff. Now, for you women that are here...
Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. For you women that are here, you could perhaps develop how you would prepare this woman to work with this new male leader who's now going to be responsible for her. So we obviously want to get this person to a place where... we could fully delegate it. Now, it would be a disaster, I'm sure, if you've been around some places that I have, to just say, all right, here's a new woman staff, go at it. We don't want to do that because we know of enough disasters around that we want to protect these women. We want to make sure that they're developing and really getting into their responsibilities, and they have the freedom to do that, and see a ministry raise up around her that just would bless God. So we want to get to that place. So I'd like you to say you're at the coaching level. What kinds of things could you do with that person at the coaching level that would help the person understand and develop in his ability to lead a woman's staff? Okay, and then we'll see how we can get that person then. What would you want to see from that person to move them up to a supportive level? Okay, let's just think for a moment what you would do then to... Write them down yourself, and perhaps you can talk to your neighbor again, your buzz group, and maybe if you have a lady, she can help you a lot there. Wow, let's see what you've done as a helping this staff person into position at this level. What are some of the things, and perhaps general instructions that you could give him, and things that you'd want to be seeing here? Demonstrate and understand before we could move them on to the supportive level. Okay? Let's have some of your thoughts. Okay. He said, the woman working for him, and don't blow it. Don't goof it up. Okay, what could we do to help him so he doesn't blow it?
Well, help him write a job description
for her. So that they write a job description. So, okay. Now, who would write the job description? Okay, so develop it with him, and then together with each of them sitting together and discussing it. Okay, what else? Yes. Okay, so you'd go over the philosophy of women's ministry that has been put out, and you'd go over that with them. Is that what you're saying? Okay, good. Uh-huh. So, cover together. Very good. Okay? Okay, so what are his expectations, concerns, perspective? Okay, good. We need to better get that out. Yes. Harvey? All right, who would get those expectations, get hers?
He would.
So you'd instruct him to get the women. Okay. Somebody has it. Yes. So you would cover the differences? So cover the differences in particularly the women's leadership style, and what else did you say? Or need? Okay, emotion, and perhaps the ministry pace. Okay, good. Uh-huh. Yes. Good. Okay, include wife in the process. Mm-hmm. So her expectations, but also her calling, you know, of God's leading. Yes, good. Okay, now, that's an excellent thing. See, what we're seeing, and what I it's obvious you're really, you have experience with this, and you're picking up exactly what, at this level, what you need to be doing, is not just giving assignments, but coming back and going through it with the person. Not just assuming, go do this, and then walk away. But exactly what you said, perhaps call, then come back and we'll talk about what you've learned. Go, you know, get her expectations, calling, and maybe include the wife sitting in on that. Cover differences with him and go over that, and you take notes together and discuss it. There might be a book that would be helpful to read or something. But remember, you're at this coaching level where you're coaching him into this situation. So these are very good. Yes. Okay, so he needs to know the limits in terms of his own, you know, how far you want him to go, and that's where you can set that up, because it, just like you hear, you set the completion date. You say, well, listen, come back Friday and we'll talk about that. But if this happens or something, let's talk about it before you go on any further. Okay, now, yes. Okay, now I think that's that perhaps is the category of some of the things that Ruth was sharing earlier, just the cover some of the differences, but also that it brings in the other aspect. What does it mean to co-labor? And I think we'll understand then. He can understand on that, that what is that concept? Yes. Okay, so her finances and how that would work out. Boy, this is great. You guys, we ought to take this as a real illustration here. Yes?
Well, are you assuming now with this coaching role that everyone that we have is responsible for capable of working with? Is that a discussion that we're saying?
No, I wouldn't assume that. I wouldn't assume that.
I think that's a valid consideration.
Okay. Okay. Well, what you're saying here, see, is, and we don't, the purpose is not to get into the women's areas in a sense of all the details of that, but sticking with the this as coaching. But on the coaching level, that's right. You don't want to make a lot of assumptions. You want to check those out. And that's the purpose of it. See, because wouldn't that be something if you get up there delegating, or if you delegate too soon, never checked out assumptions, all of a sudden you delegated a responsibility of this to him, and boom, you know, it suddenly it explodes because of a difference with some basic assumptions. And these are the things that you do at the coaching stage, is find out those assumptions. Find out where he's coming from and she's coming from. Yes, okay? Okay, so you basically check with the woman's staff, okay? See how he's doing in following through in these responsibilities. Very good. All right, now what I'd like you to do is, let's say he's qualified. He's come through on this. And we're satisfied. He's come back and these things are coming along. What now would you do at the supportive level? What would you do at the supportive? Let's just take a few minutes to put that together. What would you do at the supportive level? I'll leave this up here, that you could carry that on. Let's say our confidence, and he's demonstrated that well on these, and we're confident, we are confident that he could move to the next step and handle more responsibility, and we could delegate more to him. Yes. You retain the responsibility still. You haven't given everything. So you're checking everything. For instance, the job description, it wouldn't be written by them. You know, they'd work together, but you would be the one that would finally approve that. And all these other things, that everything, nothing would move ahead without your final approval. And that's coaching. Mm-hmm. Good question. Yes, Don. From a women's perspective, okay? Sure. He said he'd like to just hear how the women see this as this thing developing. You like what they're thinking of? Do you? Excellent, okay. Yes. Okay, she said, just want to add the aspect that a woman should, we should really make sure that she fits into that job slot, not just assume, not just because the slot is open, put the woman in there, but that she fits. Is that correct? Okay, good. Ralph? Almost, that's correct. But I think at the coaching stage, you are giving him more latitude. You're not saying, go say this, do this, come back. Go, you know, and you're giving him more latitude. For instance, the suggestion that Roger made, contact the other staff. It's up to him when, how, who. You might give him a few names, but you'd give him the flexibility of that. And so there's more flexibility. And my experience shows that I would start in dealing with staff mostly at the coaching position. There are things that become very tense, and suddenly you drop down into a directive level. I've done that. I've actually, because of some situations that have come up, we've suddenly dropped back for a period of time because we need to really work together very closely on this. It might be some kind of issue that's come up. We better work it through. And that's happened as well. But those, basically, you move the coaching level. But that's what the difference is. You're letting him have more responsibilities, and you're giving him general instructions. You're not saying, now talk to this person, go to that person, do this. But you're saying, let's talk to some staff. Get their input. And then come back to me and tell me what you've learned. And that's the difference. Yes?
Ron, did any of those up there cover his basic doctrine regarding treating women?
Okay, he said, now, how about the covering of the basic doctrine of... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is that covered up there today?
Well, I would... it seems like... In the philosophy of women's ministry, I think that's probably would get into that.
Yeah.
But if you wanted that, we could then add that in. So, in other words, you might say, do a Bible study on it?
His basic belief from the Bible is going to determine so much of what he does.
Right, right. And that's what we're saying here. That's good. Okay, so we want to get into his understanding on that. Good. Okay. This will be helpful if anybody are into that situation. All right, now let's go to the supportive level. Let's pick up on that. And what now, you're giving him more responsibility and authority to move with it. You've been pleased with this. And let's say he's passed these various areas. And now, what would you do at the supportive level to help him develop so we can delegate it? So this is the last step before delegation. What would you want to see happen before you could finally give over to him the full responsibility? Okay, just think about that for a minute, talk about it. We'll buzz for a little bit and then we'll get some input. You're fast. Or something else. All right, let's just see what we do at this supportive level. What would be some of those things? Yes? Personal development of who? So you would... Okay, so you would help, in other words, you give him the responsibility to develop a personal development plan with her. Okay? Uh-huh. Good, okay. Okay, and then also ministry... planning. Now, would you, what would your role be on this? Okay. He said that his role would be an observer. Would it be, yes? All right, excellent. That's a good compliment to that. So you would want to give guidelines at this level. That he's not just, you know, just that's delegation. To just say, well, come up with a personal development plan. you give guidelines for that personal development plan as well as guidelines in this area here. And as some illustrations of that is what Roger said, her vacation, her time schedule, making sure she's getting some whatever, study or some areas that perhaps would be appropriate for her. And the same thing with ministry planning, clear guidelines, and then you would come back. You would make sure you're still, you'd set up a time to review then that progress. Okay, what else? What else would you do at this level? Meet with her. What and what for? Why? It's just instinctive, right? All right. That's a good point. In your supervising of staff or developing of staff, you consistently need to go under the level that he is. It's consistent you'd have to do that. You not only have to be aware of what he's doing with this what you're doing directly with that leader, but you continually need to go under that level to find out how are things going, because then you can help him with her. Many things that you find out you may never share, you just understand that, but then it gives you a context for leading him. But you always need to do that, and I find that that's something we need to work at. Keep going underneath that level of the direct level that you're supervising. And that's a good point. Thanks. Yes. You say, now you're checking that with him or with her?
Well, I would give him those ideas.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to see him work those things out rather than perhaps, I know what you're saying when you say go under him.
Yes.
But I think if we go under him and find that he is doing that, that's better than going under him and finding that he isn't. And then you come back to him and say, hey, you got to do this. I'd rather stimulate his thinking to the place where he will come up.
Good. Okay, so we want to stimulate him and help him take more initiative. And if we do go under, we may find that he's not taking that or not encouraging her, or she doesn't feel that freedom. When we come back up to deal with him, we may just ask questions, not make statements. I find that the biggest challenge in leading leaders is that it shifts over. You shift from 90% statements and few questions to when you lead leaders, it's 90% questions and very few statements. That's just a kind of a basic idea. Yes? Okay. The sharing, to some percentage degree, you will still keep responsibility. So that gives you the option of coming in on it whenever you'd like. So you share that responsibility so that you then can still come in on it. You can still veto, in a sense. In other words, if this guy was doing something absolutely wrong, you could sit down and talk to him. But if it got to a point where he wasn't doing it or it was going to be something that, excuse me, absolutely didn't fit, then you could say no. So at that supportive decision, you still share the task responsibility. Whereas when you release that, it basically goes to him. And now if you want to remove the whole responsibility from him, that's one thing. Where's that? Oh, yeah. Well, you're releasing. Yeah, I guess I could. That's a good point. I could semantically clean that up. Probably it would be best to put sharing there in that second one, the coaching. It'd be a degree. It would only be a degree. I would see sharing the responsibility, so you're still involved. Whereas the up and delegation, you give over completely. So that's a good point there. It's probably a better choice of words to say that we're sharing that responsibility. The point there was that you're releasing a little bit more, a little bit more. Okay, but that is confusing. That's a good point. We can put down there that sharing it. Yes? So here, and that would be very appropriate. That's exactly right. That's at the supportive level. You would review these plans and these things up here. Good. Okay. Okay. And you could keep close touch with him on that and fine. Okay. So dealing this. Yes. Okay. Rusty or Chuck. Let's have Chuck first. This Chuck. Up Chuck. Oh, no Chuck. All right. Let me just ask you a question. In this particular case, at what point would failure or letting him have rope, what limit would you see? Exactly. Yeah, good. So if he'll run into the wall by himself, that's one thing. Right. Okay. Good. Just want to check. Okay, Chuck. Yes. Okay, so she's content, she's growing, you said she's happy. Okay, that's very important, so we'd want to make sure that's true. Yes, Joyce? Excellent. Okay, that's an excellent point. Did you catch that? That he then should start working her on this ministry planning and development along the same lines, putting her on coaching and support. In other words, he ought to be turning around and reproducing this with her. He ought to be releasing more and more of those responsibilities that he has as well. So that's a very good point. He is apprenticing her. Okay. Good. Any, yes, back there.
Does he know where he is in progress?
Excuse me?
Does he know where he is in progress? You say, we're now moving.
Yeah. I, if it were my responsibility, I would, yes, he would know where he is. I have found it to be the most helpful if the person is. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Bruce? All right, now, did you hear that? All right, he said, I'd like you to comment on it, that he would have her, or him, come up with a plan, how often he's going to get with her, what he's going to be talking to her, things to check out with her, and then that kind of thing. Tell me, how do you respond to that? Is that the right level, or? Yes, Rusty?
I'd say that's
okay, what do the others think? Yes, John?
I think I might back up a bit and have him come up with an assessment of his strengths, of his contribution, what he really wants to contribute to me, so that I know he knows it well. And have his wife, have him discuss that with his wife, and then we can talk that out. I will have to know her too, so I can have a value judgment on my end. And then for him to come up with how he feels he can be a best resource to her.
Okay. And I think that's what we're hitting here. I think we want to help her, and the point that Joyce brought up is the begin learning to apprentice, that he is apprenticing her. He is starting to coach her, and so we can follow through on that as well. And so we know the plans, we know the things, and we're getting into that. Well, I think you're catching a hold of this, and as I said before, a lot of it is similar to what we've been doing, but I think the important thing is that we take the time to think it through. We take the time to see that person develop, regardless of what area it's in. If it's a primary area, we want to take the time to work it through. Explain where the person is, what our relationship, whether it's to be a directive, coaching, supportive, and then we begin there. We explain what the ground rules or what the freedom or the authorities would be and how much I'll keep and the rest. But then we get that, and then we start giving out these responsibilities or tasks or whatever we're doing, and we follow through with the level that it's appropriate. And when it's been satisfied to his and ours satisfaction, we have confidence, we begin to move him up, and then we know this. And you see that if we went through this and with this staff person and his dealing with these leading a staff woman, by the time we delegate this, you see all we would know? You see how much he would have developed? We wouldn't run into the problems of suddenly he's got a different doctrine, or suddenly there's tension, he doesn't know how to handle it. We've talked that through. He's learned a great deal. He's grown. He has confidence that he can lead women. He can even help others, in this case, help a woman staff learn to apprentice, and he can start developing that person in the process. We've multiplied ourselves. We've caused this person to increase in the confidence and their responsibility, their initiative, and they're motivated. It's a positive experience. It's not just someone, confining. So it's, I think, it's the area that causes you and I to have fun in the ministry, to see that kind of growth. And I think, as a leader, that's got to turn you on, to see someone develop, to see someone grow. And let's just fill this portion out here just to see that. Let's, at the directive level, who takes the initiative? The leader or the co-laborer? Okay, so the initiative is in the leader's hands. How about the authority? Okay, leader. And what role then is, what is the leader's role? He's a director, right? Have you ever studied the biblical background and precedent for the word director? Is there anything in the Bible that would help us say that there's a director? Or help us understand that? Look in there sometime on that. You never see the word, but it's interesting. Because that word is a very difficult word, especially if you put it together with all the background that we now use, director, having total authority. Okay, coaching. Who has the initiative? Okay, it's both at this point, but primarily the leader. He is both basically taking. He is starting to draw this co-labor in. Who has the authority? The leader. Now, what is the leader's role in this case? Okay. He's a coach or what you call a facilitator. There's another, perhaps, a facilitator helping him. Now, here, I think, is where the fun starts. So as soon as you can get somebody to that place, appropriately to that place, it's really where you start to see the progress, and you see it in the person. Now, at the supportive level, who has the initiative? Okay, the co-laborer. Who is the authority? Okay, it's shared. They both have it, okay? And it's based on the degree, but my experience shows that it probably, it's like a 60-40 or a 70-30 type of thing. The ball is moving more and more into his court at this point. So the co-laborer has the, I would say, the 70% or more. He's starting to pick up more and more on it. What is the leader's role? He's the consultant, okay? And the reason I use the word consultant is just because the consultant can take initiative, can move back in, and he can inject himself into the process if he'd like. Now, as far as the delegation, all the way across, the co-laborer has the authority,